Paul, of course, you've got the females this weekend, and then we've got the men playing the following weekend here in Edmonton. And we've talked about how Canada kind of had to catch up, I guess, and start hosting more of these tournaments to improve their ranking worldwide.
Yeah, we really did have to step up our efforts, Jason, in order to be able to position the teams to have a shot at qualifying for Olympic qualifying tournaments. And we've been successful in doing that. I will pat ourselves on the back. This has been led by Alberta basketball. It's been led, you know, by us hosting as many events as we have and reaching out to people all around the country to host more events. Canada basketball's hosted a couple of events. And now in the end, on the men's side, certainly we've been able to push things forward, but on the women's side too, with the event that we have this upcoming weekend, that helps their ranking tremendously as well.
Yeah, so this weekend it's the ladies are in town, and you know, I believe our Canadian team is ranked second, and there's many top 10 teams coming, and a couple just outside the top 10 at West Hampton Mall. So a really good time to come out and watch some elite basketball, Paul Sir, being played.
100%. You know, being in Montreal a week and a half ago and watching the women play, it's a lot of fun to watch the women's event. And Team Canada right now is the hottest team in the world, with the Plouffe sisters leading the way. But they've been taking care of business, winning three tournaments in a row, and they're certainly the favorite to win in this as well, only trailing France, who secured the number one spot in the world on the world tour this year. But the Canadian women have made a case for themselves to be, you know, considered to be right there with France.
How many teams come into this weekend, Paul? And are there some teams for people who are going to go watch? Are there some teams that they should be closely following, excluding Canada, of course?
Well, Canada, of course, but the U.S. is going to bring a very good team. Italy is very good. Spain is very good. And I think if anything that we can attribute to Spain right now is that they produce great athletes. Marc Gasol and his Spanish teammates just winning the world championships on the men's side. Rafa Nadal winning the U.S. Open from Spain in tennis. It's a highly competitive team, and the Spanish team has played the Canadian women very, very tightly. The Czechs, Czech Republic, very, very good. Poland, very tough. So all of the teams that you're going to see this weekend have an opportunity to beat the other. I would say going into it, Canada is the favorite. That doesn't mean anything is guaranteed, because some of these teams are going to have their best four here and make sure that they have the best showing possible on the final stop on the world tour.
Paul Sir joins us, Basketball Alberta president, talking all things basketball related. You touched on a bit, Marc Gasol, one of the few players to win NBA title and then the World Cup championship at the same time. Were you surprised that his group, Spain, was able to push through and have the success they did?
Nothing Spain does ever surprises me, because the love that the Spanish have for sport in general. You look at soccer, you look at tennis, you look at basketball. They've been here before. Gasol has been here before. So, no, I'm not really surprised. I'm not surprised either at the U.S.'s seventh place finish, for instance. I'm really not surprised with the outcome of this tournament. I'm pleased to see it. Gasol and his loyalty, I think, is such a breath of fresh air in the international scene, where you see the NBA players shrugging off their opportunity to play for their countries. And of course, on the show, guys, we've talked a lot about that, about just how very disappointing it is that the Canadian men didn't have a great representation from their elite level NBA players. But you just see a guy like Gasol, 34 years old, won the NBA championship. He doesn't need to do this, but his desire to represent his country was his greater motivation. And now they've got the world championship to show for it. So I think it's a real tribute to Gasol, his teammate, and his country at their passion for the game.
Yeah, it is interesting, because I saw the USA and they, oh man, what's the big guy from the big coach? Popovich from
Popovich, yeah.
He was kind of defending himself. You know, and I thought some of his comments were interesting. I don't know if you got a sense or ability to read his comments and just kind of defend himself. He's like, hey, you know what? We did what we did, but, you know, it's just like many countries, we didn't have a full group.
Yeah, I think, you know, defending himself, I was sort of surprised that Popovich talked like that. where I'd go, Jason, the person I'd refer to in terms of his comments is Kobe Bryant, who gave up a lot of his off seasons to play for the Redeem team to bring the U.S. back to gold medal status in 2008 after they lost it in 2000. And Kobe Bryant said, even if we had our best players, I don't know that we would have won the gold medal, because he said the rest of the world's caught up. He said it's not that they're catching up. This isn't 1992 in Barcelona, Spain, and the Dream Team. It's a very different international climate now. Teams can play with the NBA. And it's so Popovich, yeah, he defended himself. Yeah, he's right. He didn't have his full team. But seventh place, that wouldn't be expected from the U.S. unless you factor in these other countries can just flat out play. So having the turn that the NBA moniker next to your name isn't enough anymore to guarantee that you're going to be a world champion in FIBA basketball.
And FIBA basketball, Paul, and I like how you mentioned FIBA, because it's very different style than the NBA game.
Oh, yeah, very different. It's what I would, old school guy talking here, but it's what I call real basketball. you don't have restrictions on whether you can be in the lane for 3 seconds, which I think is one of the silliest things I've ever seen in a sport. But the way you have to guard your man in the NBA and be a certain distance from them, it's, you know, when I was coaching community league and mini boys, you had little things like that. You didn't want little guys running all over the court and just running around the basketball. It's like NBA players have to be told that. Where in FIBA, you can play zone defenses, you can play man-to-man, you can do whatever you want to do defensively in FIBA, which is one thing I really appreciate about it. The 40-minute game, the 24-second clock, which is the same as the NBA, but the way players are restricted from calling timeout while play is live, they really put the play in the hands of the players, and they take a lot of power away from the coaches, which is what a lot of people in the NBA and even the NCAA don't like. But yeah, they're very, very different. They're a very, very different style of play.
Talking with Paul Sir, all things basketball related. He's from Basketball Alberta. Just go back to last weekend with the Montreal tournament for Edmonton's 3-on-3 Canadian team. The guys had a good round. You know, how do they, or can they carry that momentum from Montreal now to Edmonton in about, well, I guess, what is it, 13 days time or less? They'll be playing the tournament here.
They certainly can. The addition of Jordan Baker, who started the season with them and then had to step away from 3-on-3 so he could play for the Stingers and had an outstanding season there. Getting Jordan back was obviously a big jolt for them in raising their level of play and their confidence, and it showed in Montreal. They're going to play in Taiwan this weekend. Jordan can't join them this weekend. They have an injury in Jordan Jensen-White, so they're actually traveling to Taiwan with three players. Kenny Ochiano from the Stingers will join Kyle Landry and Steve Sir to go over there, but then they'll be back. They'll be at full strength when they go into Edmonton. We have Novi Sad, the number one team in the world here, along with some other Team Harlem, fantastic teams from around the world that'll be here, but they're going to be playing in front of their home crowd, and I think the guys have a great opportunity to showcase their talents in front of their hometown, get the home court advantage, and make a good showing.
Paul, as we get closer to the NBA season, of course, you know, we just saw some players there. We mentioned Gasol. Are you concerned at all fatigue for him for the Raptors?
Well, yes and no. I don't think Mark Gasol suffers from the need for load management like a lot of other players seem to. I think he just likes to play. So my read on Gasol is he's mature enough to go to Nick Nurse and say, you know, coach, I'm tired. Maybe I shouldn't play as much tonight. That's how I read Gasol. He could be fatigued, but I don't think I think he's the kind of old school athlete who doesn't worry about stuff like that. He just wants to play. And so I would look for Gasol to have a great year. And if he needs to play, 15 to 20 minutes in a couple of games, I think Coach Nurse can accommodate him there. But I also think he's the kind of guy that's just going to play, and he wants to help his team win. And that's how he looks at things. And if you detect some cynicism in my voice, it's 100% accurate, because I really respect what Marc Gasol brings to this team, and I'm very excited to see how this team functions with Gasol, without the great, you know, Kawhi Leonard. This is in no way a shot at Leonard as a player, but you know, they're going to have to really rely on Gasol's leadership. And what better leader than an NBA and a world champion to have in your lineup for an entire season like Marc Gasol will be this year?
Well, we're looking forward to getting back to the NBA talk. But this weekend, we got the girls, the ladies here. And I think I looked online. Is the tournament, or it starts, I think, at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock at the old Ice Palace at West Edmonton Mall?
At the Ice Palace, we'll have opening ceremonies at 1:30, 2 o'clock, Canada against Poland for our first game. So that'll be a great matchup right out of the gate. We also have community teams playing. We've got a men's qualifying tournament going on leading up to that. All kinds of great entertainment. So, but you're right. But yeah, at 1:30 opening ceremonies, and immediately following that, Canada and Michelle and Catherine Plouffe will tip off the tournament.
Yeah, I can't wait to. I'm going to be down there. If my kids don't have trials at that time, I'm going down. I want to see these ladies play, and the basketball is going to be great. And it's so quick. I want to see it live. I've never seen it live. I want to see it live to see how quick this ball moves around.
I'm excited for you to be there and invite everybody to come out. It's free. It's going to be a great time. So come to the Ice Palace on Saturday and Sunday. You will be glad you did.
Any guess on the time for the final?
The final will be at 3:40 on Sunday.
3:40 on Sunday. Okay.
Yeah, 3:40 on Sunday. So, yeah, it's going to be great. We have a great webcast team as well. So if you can't make it down, you can always watch it online as well.
Paul, appreciate your time. Talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Take care.